All right. Then I would like for you to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Amen. You can make your way over there. And you know, if you got a spare finger, you might want to stick it over in the 23rd Psalm. Amen. We've been talking the last few months about following Christ, the call to follow Christ. And last week from John chapter 10, we've talked about following Christ, the Good Shepherd. Following Christ, the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10. You know, the Lord himself called himself the Good Shepherd. In John 10:14, he says, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine." He says in verse 11, "I am the Good Shepherd." The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. In fact, he knows them so well. We have passages like verse 3, John 10:3. He says he calls his own sheep by name. So he knows his sheep and he calls them by name. Now, you know, that's an infinite God who can do that. I don't know how many names the average person can remember, but I would suspect it's not too many. But you know, God is so infinite that the Bible says he knows all the stars and he calls them by name. Psalms 147 and verse 4 says he tells the number of the stars and he calls them all by their names. So he's not only flung the stars in space, but you know, he didn't do it haphazardly. He knows where they are. And you know, he doesn't forget. Where did I put that star? I don't. No, he knows where he put them, he knows where they are, and he knows the name of every star. Now, it's kind of difficult to, when you start trying to wonder, I wonder how many stars there are, because you've got so many different views and opinions. But I read two different things in the last few days. One said that there's about 10 billion galaxies in the observable universe, 10 billion galaxies. Now, then I read just this morning that there's 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. So, and that's just in the observable universe. So, you know, the further our probes have been able to go with the telescopes and so forth, the more they realize space seems to be, from our perspective, it seems to be infinite. So, if you said there were a billion trillion stars in the observable universe, that's probably a gross underestimate. It's trillions of trillions. You have to make up numbers, you know. Quadrillions, quantillions. I just say, you know, there's like a bazillion. That's, you know, that's just a great big number. And he knows the name of everyone and where it is. Now, when you think about that, and then you think that how many people there are on the earth and how many people who have ever lived. How many think they ever lived, Dave? Well, according to the people who think the earth is 50,000, some say that humans have been on the earth for 50,000 years. Bah! We don't believe that. We believe the earth is, you know, what, 10,000 at the most, 10,000 at the most. So maybe... How many? 15 billion? 20 billion? If we said 25 billion, that's probably an exaggeration. You know what? That's a drop in the bucket compared to the trillions and trillions and bazillions of stars out there that God knows by name. So here's my point. It's no problem for God to know your name and to remember your name. In fact, and to count the hairs on your head. Oop, one just fell out. He knows. He knows. You lose 100 of those a day. He knows. No problem for God. So for us to even begin to doubt God's knowledge of who we are and where we are and what our situation is or what our circumstances is, We are underestimating the greatness of our God. Amen. The infinite God who knows everything about everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. So let's remember the one who knows us best loves us most. And that's, I guess that's the shocker of all shockers. When we sing, "He knows my name," he actually does know our name.
Thank you, Lord.
And our address.
Thank you, Jesus.
And where you live, you know.
Amen.
Here's what he says. "This is our great shepherd who calls his sheep by name," verse 3. "And he leads them out." One of the great promises we have in the Bible is that God will lead us. Our shepherd will lead us. That he will guide and direct our steps. That's comforting to me. God will direct us. That notice verse 4 says, "His sheep follow him and they know his voice." Verse 27 says the same thing. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. Now, if you're one of God's sheep, then you recognize his voice. His voice is his word, the word of God.
Amen.
And that means we are followers of the word of God. We are followers of his voice.
Amen.
Y'all awake?
Yes.
We're followers of his voice. That's his word.
Amen.
We follow the voice of our shepherd. So if you hear some other voice that's saying something that's not the same as our shepherd's voice, you don't follow that.
Right.
You follow your shepherd's voice. You see, there are others over here. Verse 5, he says, "A stranger will they not follow. They will flee from him." They don't recognize the voice of strangers. Somebody speaks contrary to the word of God, that is not your shepherd. That is not your Lord speaking. That's a stranger. We don't follow strangers.
Amen.
We tell our children about stranger danger. Well, there's real stranger danger when you got people preaching another gospel and another Jesus. So we don't follow strangers. We consider them bogus, illegitimate, counterfeit, spurious. Antichrists.
That's right.
There are bazillions of them. That's right. Verse 1, we also know that there are thieves and robbers out there. It says those that climb in some other way, man, those are thieves and robbers climbing over the fence and so forth. We have a good shepherd, beloved.
Yes, we do.
Verse 10 says the thief comes. This is what they're up to. To kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." He's our shepherd. Our shepherd has only our good at heart. He has our good at heart. He has no ulterior motives.
Amen.
And actually, he has not only our good at heart in this world, but he's got our eternal good at heart. Verse 28 says, "I give to them eternal life." I give them eternal life. Now, last week, we delved into chapter 10 a little bit. And if you saw a real parallel between John 10 and the 23rd Psalm, well, that wasn't an accident, because the Lord actually, in John 10, identifies himself as the shepherd that Psalms 23 speaks of. Psalms 23 is perhaps one of the best known of all the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd's psalm, where Israel said, "The Lord," David the shepherd, David the psalmist, David anointed by the Holy Spirit said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is capitalized in your Bible. You'll notice L-O-R-D, all capital letters. That means it's the Hebrew tetragrammaton. That means it's God's covenant name, Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. And in John 10, Jesus said, "That's me. I'm the good shepherd. He's identifying himself in John 10 as the shepherd of Psalms 23. That's no mistake. If you see the similarities, it's no mistake at all. It's actually prophetic, and the Lord is the fulfillment of it all. So I want you to make your way to the 23rd Psalm. I believe it would encourage our hearts to just remind us that we're following the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
Following Christ, the Good Shepherd. Everything that follows in the 23rd Psalm begins with verse 1, and that is, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord, Yahweh. That's the covenant name of God right there. God himself is my shepherd, the good shepherd. Israel always said, "That's our God." Jesus said, John 10, "That would be me. I am the good shepherd." This psalm has comforted more people through more stages of their life and in more countries of the earth than any of us can possibly know. It's a word picture that's painted by David, who himself was a shepherd. It's a word picture that depicts a scene that was all so familiar in ancient Israel, that in their own busy life, you know, all lives are busy, and that's just the way it's always been. We're probably busier than ever, but I'll tell you, life was busy even in ancient times. They didn't have the conveniences we had, so they couldn't go to the supermarket and buy bread. They had to make it. They couldn't go just buy milk. They had to milk something. So, but as busy as they were, coming, going, children, you know, busyness, farming, and whether the fishermen were getting out, there was always a familiar scene in that ancient landscape, and that would be on a hillside, there would be a shepherd, and he would be watching over his sheep. He'd be leading them somewhere, whether it was off to a pasture or off to a shade or into a well to draw them water. The sight of a shepherd and the sheep was so familiar, just such a common picture, that everybody could identify with this 23rd Psalm. The thing about the shepherd was, David was himself a shepherd. David himself had defended his sheep. David had fought a lion. David fought a bear. All of that to defend the sheep that he tended. So he knew what constitutes a good shepherd. And the Lord knows, because the Lord said, you know, a hireling, a bear attacks a flock of sheep. A hireling, just a hired man, he said, pray, you can have those sheep. I'm not getting killed or mauled by a bear over a few sheep. Let him eat some. When he's done, he'll go off. Aren't you glad that's not your shepherd? Because you know the Bible compares us to sheep. It's not necessarily a flattering depiction. It's not overly flattering. You know, sheep, it's been said that sheep are kind of dumb. I've never owned a sheep, so I don't know. I know a little bit about cows, only because my grandparents had cows. I had to milk a cow. I know a little bit about cows. I know a little bit about chickens and a little bit about pigs. I know nothing about sheep except what I read. I do know that you can't drive them. You have to lead them. I do know that they are very, very skittish. You know, they tend to be a little nervous. Maybe it's because they have no natural defenses. Yeah. Not the sheep. You know, the ram, now that's another thing altogether. You know, they big, hard head, want to run into everything. That's the male for you, you know, the male of the species, you know. My wife said amen a little too loud. But... But But I do know that from everything that I have been able to read, that sheep tend to be a little on the nervous side. They tend to be a little skittish. And like one lady said, who was on the internet, a lady shepherd, because she had a sheep that she tended. She said, you know, the one thing that keeps them calm is when you're out there among them. You're just out there with them. They know you're there. Calms them down. But, you know, what they saw in ancient Israel was that the sheep were the special object of the shepherd's care. The shepherd looked after those sheep. And, you know, that would be in the rain or in the sun. Didn't matter what the weather was. Didn't matter if it was day or night. The shepherd's job was to watch over those sheep, to look after them, make sure they're safe, they're fed, they're watered. That was the shepherd's job. And we know a little bit about it. If you're a parent, you know, you're a shepherd of sorts. You have to shepherd your flock, your children, make sure that they're looked after. If you're a normal mother or father, and you have to say that these days because some parents don't care at all. They make babies, but they don't raise them. They don't look after them. They don't care about them. It's a terrible, broken world. Yeah. Drugs and alcohol have ravaged America and many countries of the world. Right. But if you're a normal person and you have a child, you have normal fatherly and motherly instincts, then you care about your child. Right. You go wake them up in the morning, get ready for school. You ask them, did you brush your teeth? You make sure they look halfway presentable, maybe wash their face, comb their hair, something, you know, before you got your books, you got your lunch, let me make sure you got all your clothes on, nothing's backwards, and off they go to school. You know, we're all shepherds of some sort, and our own children are the objects of our special attention. I would venture to say that you don't walk up and down the street in your neighborhood as kids are walking to school and say, hey, did you brush your teeth? You don't stop a little child you don't even know and say, hey, go comb that hair before you go to school. Or, did you pack a lunch? No, we look after our own. Well, our shepherd looks after us. He looks after us. We are his sheep, the Bible says. We are the sheep of his pasture. My sheep. That's what the Lord said in John 10. My sheep. They're my sheep. They know my voice. They follow me. Now, that's our responsibility. You see, the shepherd has his responsibility and the sheep have theirs. You have a responsibility. Your responsibility, follow the shepherd. Amen. Guess what? That pretty much sums up your responsibility. When it comes right down to it, you follow the shepherd. Follow the Lord. That was the Lord's call. You take up your cross. You deny yourself. You follow me. You follow me. Amen. We could really pretty much sum up in capsule form our duty and responsibility. Follow the shepherd. I'm talking about the Lord now, right? Follow the shepherd. Follow Jesus. That's our call. That's our responsibility. The Lord, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want. I shall not want. The word means I won't lack. Some versions translate it need. I won't need. We should not therefore worry about a lack of supply if the Lord really is our shepherd. If we really do, in our heart of hearts, recognize the Lord as our shepherd. Is he a good shepherd? So that means he won't neglect his sheep. Is that correct? It means he won't neglect any of his sheep. He won't neglect any of his sheep. If he's a good shepherd, he's going to look after his sheep. He's going to see to it that their needs are met, that their needs are supplied.
Amen.
Hello? If he's a good shepherd. And the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. John 10, right? I am the good shepherd. So we should not fear, worry, or lose sleep over our need when we are the sheep of the good shepherd. David makes a bold statement, I remember, coming from his own shepherd's experience, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will not lack. I will not lack. I will not lack. Not with the Lord as my shepherd.
Amen.
If I'm my own shepherd, maybe. If somebody else is my shepherd, no matter how well-intentioned they may be, you never know. But with the Lord as my shepherd, I will not lack.
Amen.
No. This is a statement. This is a bold statement. It is a statement full of confidence and faith when David said, I will not lack.
Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd. How can you say that? Because the Lord is my shepherd. You know, it's okay to make bold statements.
Right.
If you're speaking about the faithfulness of the God you serve, the Lord is my shepherd. David, who was himself a shepherd, a caring shepherd, one who was devoted to the sheep and the flock, who put his own life in jeopardy to defend the flock from a lion and a bear, he knew what it was to care for the sheep. And I want you to think about the fact that this statement is unqualified. That is, it's unlimited. I shall not lack. He doesn't add anything to that, so it's an unlimited statement. You know, if he said, I shall not lack food, then you've just limited that statement to food. I shall not lack warm clothes. You just limited that statement to warm clothes. I shall not lack shelter. You just limited the statement. But this statement is unlimited. I shall not lack. Period.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that means exactly that. Don't put limitations.
No.
Don't put limitations on it. The Lord didn't give us any limitations here. It means our unlimited God has an unlimited supply for all of our need if we will but trust the shepherd. You know, a shepherd's job isn't as easy as it may seem. And especially in a climate like ancient Israel, arid, dry, desert, a lot of barren ground. You've got a herd of sheep here that you've got to find provender for. You've got to find food for all of these sheep. That's not always an easy thing to do.
No.
Sometimes they had to look far and wide to find pasture for their sheep or decent drinking water for their sheep. A good shepherd would search far and wide. He would find the best field possible for his sheep. You and I have a good shepherd.
Amen.
That means he's going to take care of us, beloved. And we can trust him to do just what he said. David makes this powerful statement, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack. The sheep just follow the shepherd, that's all. They follow the shepherd. If he takes them out into a barren wilderness, they're going to die out there. They better have a good shepherd. They better have one who cares about them, one who will lead them in a place of pasture. Well, we have to trust that the Lord's going to provide for us.
Right.
You follow my my line of thought here?
Yeah.
The Lord promises to provide. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need not doubt, fear, worry, ponder, question, throw up our hands in bewilderment. All we need to do is follow the shepherd. Trust the Lord, believe his promise. state like David, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you can say that, the Lord is my shepherd, is the Lord your shepherd? If you can say he's my shepherd, that speaks of a personal relationship with God Almighty, only available through Jesus Christ. If God is in fact your shepherd, then you can say, I shall not lack. That's a bold statement. I shall not lack. I shall not lack. The Lord will always provide. Now that means not just today, but tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, until the end of our days on earth, the Lord will provide. The Lord will supply. He's your shepherd today and forever. He's not, in fact, I think it's important we recognize this as a present tense. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
Not that he will be, not that he used to be, but that he is present tense right now, my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not lack. But David, it says that David had a present tense relationship with God too. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's important for us to have as well. A present tense right now relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Here's a couple of other verses. Let me just give you a couple. Psalm 34 and verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no lack to them that fear him. No lack to them that fear him. To revere him, reverence him, honor him, serve him, acknowledge him as Lord of your life. Psalms 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing.
Amen.
The Lord will supply. That's our point. He'll supply. Will you serve him? Will you honor him? Will you live your life for him? Will you listen? Will you follow his voice? And then here's another question. Will you be content with his provision?
Yes. Amen.
You see, whatever his provision is, we have to be content with that.
Right.
Israel was not always content with the Lord's provision. Remember how much they whined and in the wilderness. They were complainers, and the Bible says they murmured in the wilderness, always wanting more than what God provided. You following your shepherd, you're living the life you're supposed to live, serving God, loving God, living for God. If you're doing that, he's providing for you.
Yes, he is.
And we're to be content with that provision. And that doesn't mean you can't trust him to expand your borders, you know,
right. And
pray. But be content where you are.
Amen.
Be content with what you have.
Amen.
Be content with God's provision is the point. You might not be living in the finest house in the finest neighborhood, but do you have a roof?
Amen.
You're warm in the winter and cool in the summer. There's food in your refrigerator. Then don't whine like Israel, who said, what? Nothing but this manna? Nothing but manna? We're sick of manna. You're going to be sick, all right. Well, we have to be content with the provision that the Lord gives us while we're trusting him all the while. Doesn't mean you can't trust him for more. Trust him for better.
Right.
But be content. This, you know, this psalm, this is such a powerful psalm. It's only six verses. Even at six verses, there's probably a dozen psalms that are shorter than this. But this is one of the shortest psalms. But how powerful. How powerful is this psalm? How comforting. Everything else we're going to read comes from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. I know him as my shepherd, my Lord, my God. My duty to follow him. I will follow him. That means I'm following his word, not people's opinions.
Amen.
Not the current trends, even the current trends in religion, but I'm following his voice. His word.
Amen.
So if we can say that, then you can also say, I shall not lack.
That's right. Yep.
If you can say, the Lord's my shepherd, you know what you're saying when you say it. He's my shepherd.
Yep.
You're saying you're his sheep. You belong to him and you're following him.
Amen.
You're following him. And if you're following him, then let's not be afraid, because verse 2, the 23rd Psalm, verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." This is the blessing of green pastures and still waters, and what a blessing it is. That's the shepherd's job, you know, to find the pastures and to find the waters for us to, the provender, the provision that we need. A good shepherd has to know right where to bring us. And then once he gets us to a good place, he's got to protect us from the predators that are out there, the thieves, the robbers, the strangers, you know. I thought about the fact that if you go in an arid place to like an oasis where the water is and the green pasture is, well, guess what else is going to be there? All the predators in the area is going to be there as well, because they know animals have to come right there to eat and drink, and so they're going to be standing all around. So even if you're a sheep standing in green grass, but while you're standing there, you see nothing but wolves all around you, you might have a hard time eating. True. Even standing in clover. You ever heard that expression before, man? They in clover. Well, that's an old expression. But back in the country, somebody would say, how is old Lucille doing? They say, Lucille is living in clover. Clover's not the name of a town. It might be, though, but it meant in clover, they are doing good. They're in a green field. They're doing well. I mean, that's the expression. Hey, they're in clover. They're doing well. That's the picture right here. He leads us to green pastures, good grass, good food. But you get a bunch of nervous sheep around and jittery. It doesn't just say he brings us to the green pastures, but notice what else it says. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He enables us to lie down in green pastures. He grants us something very, very precious, and that is rest, the ability to rest in green pastures. This is, I believe, also a very powerful promise and a powerful verse. David knew what it was like to be surrounded by enemies. There were a lot of people who wanted to kill David. And yet he could say, "The Lord's my shepherd, I won't lack, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He not only provides everything I need, but he gives me the ability to lie down, surrounded by enemies, by those who would do me harm if they could catch me." He said, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." He gives him rest. You know, what a blessing that is, the ability to rest, even when you got a lot going on in your life. I don't think any of us are being hunted down by the king, people wanting to kill us, fill our body with arrows and javelins and so forth, even though we may have trials and troubles. But look, here's David's psalm. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. A skittish sheep will not lie down unless it feels absolutely safe. We can feel safe even when a lot is going on in our life. We can have this safety of faith in our shepherd. You know, the Lord's got this.
Yes.
He's my shepherd. All I have to do is follow him. Amen. All I have to do is trust him. I find myself at times having to personally stake my claim on God's promises of sleep and rest.
Amen.
I don't know what it is about nighttime when I want to turn my brain off and it wants to keep running. But sometimes you got to talk to yourself and claim the promises of God. He gives his beloved sleep, the Bible says. I like Proverbs 3 and verse 24. When thou liest down, Proverbs 3:24, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Thou shalt lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. You'll lie down in safety. Now, sheep can lie in safety. You know how you can lie in safety as a sheep? When you know the shepherd's right there. When the Lord is your shepherd, he's right there. You can lie down and your sleep will be sweet. The idea of sweet there, the word means pleasant. Sweet sleep, pleasant sleep, refreshing sleep. We need it, you know. You don't function well without it, you know. All kinds of terrible things happen when we don't sleep like we're supposed to. You get irritable.
Yeah.
Amen. You get goofy.
Yeah.
You know, you start doing things that just don't even make sense. Why would you even do that? I don't know. I'm half asleep.
I know.
Say things you shouldn't say. Do things you shouldn't do. Don't operate machinery, you know.
Yeah.
Power equipment, you know, you want to stay from that, away from that when you're having sleep. But even doctors tell you, if you don't sleep, it'll affect your health. It'll affect you mentally. It'll affect you physically. They link diabetes, heart disease, all kinds of stuff now to a lack of sleep. So we know it's important. God designed our human body, and he designed it in such a way it's a miracle. It's a marvel of engineering, this human body. Every part of it is a miracle, really. Every function of it is a miracle. And yet he designed it in such a way that we need rest.
Amen.
We need sleep. It restores, it rejuvenates, it refreshes. It's amazing how your outlook changes when you just had a decent night's sleep.
You're right.
Thou shalt lie down,
amen,
and thy sleep shall be sweet. Latch hold of these promises. Claim sleep.
Amen.
Claim sleep. Lord, help me to turn my brain off. Why is it that it seems like the minute I lie down, I think of all the things I needed to do? All of a sudden, all these lists start appearing in your mind of all the things that that need to get done. Psalms 4, verse 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. I will both lay me down in peace, not in trouble, torment, worry, anxiety, fear, but I'll lay me down in peace and sleep.
Thank you, Lord.
For thou, Lord, only God can make us absolutely safe.
Yes.
We think that maybe the iron bars on the window will help me be safe. Maybe the gun under my pillow will help me to be safe, or the guard dog will help me to be safe. But, you know, only the Lord can promise us safety. Only the Lord can actually provide it, because you can't account for all the possible things that could happen. You know, you could put bars on your windows, but can't keep germs out. You can have a guard dog, but it can't keep your house from catching on fire. Can't keep something from collapsing on top of your roof. People driving, drunk drivers driving through your house. So, you know, crazy stuff happens. But the Lord enables us to dwell in safety. He can give us peace. The Lord gives us peace. He's our shepherd. Let's claim the promises of peace and rest. Then you've got Psalms 127 and verse 2. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And
amen.
That particular passage speaks of the vanity of spinning your wheels day and night, just trying to make ends meet. You know, there are times when Maybe you've got to put in a few extra hours. There are times when that happens, but the Bible speaks here of the vanity of worrying yourself into a frenzy of activity when the Lord is the one who's going to provide for you even when you sleep. Amen. He will make provision even when you sleep. So the idea is we have to trust the Lord our shepherd. And don't torment yourself worrying and in a frenzy. Sleep deprivation is actually a form of torture, you know. And I believe the devil has learned to employ it. Sometimes it's no surprise if you wrestle with sleep, because I think many people do. We have to claim God's promises like any other promise. We have to stand on those promises. We have to ask the Lord to help us to turn our brain off at night. Amen. And, you know, there's other things. I mean, there's a lot of things that can interfere with sleep. Medication, medical conditions, the food we eat, the caffeine you intake. You know, all kinds of things can cause you to wrestle and struggle with sleep. But all other things being equal, let's trust the Lord to enable us to enjoy this refreshing sleep that God promises, this sweet sleep that God promises. I shall not lack. That's the promise. You know, that includes lack of sleep. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not lack. Stand on that word. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And he brings us to these still waters. The green pastures, the still waters, verse 2. That's another picture of tranquility, just a what they call a pastoral scene, very serene, peaceful, calm. Still waters doesn't mean stagnant waters. It means just the opposite. In fact, the waters that bubble from deep in the earth, the little springs of water that bring pure, refreshing, clean water. The idea here is the Lord is going to provide for you, and he's going to provide good for you. Amen. He's going to provide what's good. Right. Green fields, clean, fresh drinking water. For the sheep, hey, that's all they need.
You're right.
My shepherd around me, protecting me from the predators. And provender and water, I've got everything I need. Well, the Lord is going to give us all that we need as well. He will provide our every need. And I believe there's a spiritual picture here as well, the green pastures and the pure water. I believe it speaks of the Word of God, that the Lord will fill our heart with his pure Word. If we desire it, don't be content with less. If you desire it, the Lord will give you the green pastures. He'll give you the rivers of living water, the true Holy Spirit. He speak of spiritual food. Y'all awake?
Amen.
I remember some years ago, a pastor never likes to hear of people who say, well, you know, the Lord's leading us to go elsewhere, to go to church. We never like to hear those things, but, you know, it does happen, people feel like they need to move on sometimes. And what can we do except say, well, I pray the Lord goes with you and blesses you and that you serve him all your days and that, you know, that you grow in Christ. But on a few occasions, people have come and told me, yeah, they feel like they need to go, and they'll tell me where they're going to go. And generally, I just say, God bless you. I pray for you, brother, sister. We love you, and you know you're always welcome to come back here. You know, you have to be able to send people out and love them and bless them and pray that the Lord does lead them and guide them. But in those occasions where I know that they were going to a church that was teaching some pretty bad stuff, and in some cases knew that the pastor of the church was into some pretty bad stuff as well, I have cautioned them, and I have specifically told more than one person, the Lord's not leading you there. You know, the Lord's not leading you there. I can tell you that. The Lord's not leading you there because He will lead you into green pastures. He's not going to lead you to go eat poison weed somewhere. He's not going to lead you to go drink from a polluted well where it can kill you, destroy you, lead you into error. I know my Lord doesn't lead people, His sheep, into poison springs. I know that. If they're going to go to a legitimate church, then the Lord bless them. That's all we can pray. Lord bless you. I pray the Lord uses you there and that you grow into the man of God, woman of God He wants you to be. I also believe that this is a green pasture, that this church is a green pasture, and that we can drink from the living waters of life here. I do believe that. If I didn't believe it, I'd be in the wrong place. But I do want us to know that the Lord is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. He knows His sheep. He knows you personally. And that if you are His sheep, then you have a personal relationship with Him. And your responsibility, follow. Follow your Lord. Follow your shepherd. Hear His voice. Obey His voice. And be safe. Know that you are safe in His care. Know that you are under His watchful eye at all times. Your safety and your security is not as much in your ability to make yourself safe and secure. We should do that. But let's understand that our real safety and security is in the shepherd who watches over us, whose eye is upon us at all times, who never sleeps. He never goes off. He's always watching. He's ever vigilant. We have a good shepherd. The Lord said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. They follow me. That's our part. Amen. We follow the Lord. We're going to stop there today. So we'll finish this 23rd Psalm next time. Father, we do pray. We thank You, Lord, that You promise to be our shepherd, to watch over us, to supply our every need. You promise, Lord, that we shall not lack. Lord, I pray for those who are going through trial even now and difficulty, who are looking to You for healing in their bodies or provision for any other need. Lord, some need a real work in the hearts of their family members. We ask You, Lord, to do this work. Do this work. A work of healing, of restoration and reconciliation, a work of forgiveness in families, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Your work in our finances. Lord, we pray that You provide for every one of Your sheep, Lord. Provide. Provide for every home, every individual, every business, every workplace, every job. Provide for us all, Lord, we pray. Provide, Lord Jesus, the health, the healing, the well-being that Your people need. We look to You, our great shepherd, the great shepherd of our soul. We look to You, Lord, and we thank You that we can call You Master, Shepherd, Guide, Lord, God. Bless us today and always, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.